Emmanuel, captivum salve Israel, qui gemit in exilio, privatus Dei filio, gaude, gaude, Emmanuel. Nascetur pro te, Israel. A blessed and joyful Advent to all of our readers and listeners on this memorial of St. Nicholas, one of the greatest and most venerated saints in the history of the Church. In the revisions after Vatican II, he was placed as an optional memorial on December the 6th, his traditional feast day. Sort of a mini Christmas in many cultures. And it has a significance for this podcast series I'd like to begin, because it is on this day in 1273 that St. Thomas Aquinas stopped writing. Now, the great St. Thomas never really wrote that much per se. He would rather dictate, much like Dostoevsky, centuries later. Dostoevsky was reading an article just this evening on how he was trying to write two novels at once and found it overwhelming, as most of us would, even one novel. So instead decided to dictate his novels to his wife. He actually hired her as his stenographer and began to dictate his novels to her. She would write them out. And then type them into manuscript form. St. Thomas beat Dostoevsky. He would, according to legend, and in every legend there is some truth, as Belloc says, he would keep three secretaries busy at once with three different works, going from the Summa, to, let's say, a commentary on scripture, to some other treatise, and then back to the first scribe. His mind was active, and he realized he had little time, as almost all of the saints did. St. Thomas died in 1274 on March the 7th. But from December 6th to March the 7th, he wrote nothing. And whatever vision, he had a strange vision on the Feast of St. Nicholas, in the chapel in Rome, in the Dominican house. And then his famous words after that, "All I've written seems to me a straw." And he kept his silence. Now, Joseph Pieper, the great Thomist of the 20th century, has a little treatise based on a couple of lectures he gave called The Silence of St. Thomas Aquinas. And he says it's poignant that St. Thomas remained silent because it signifies, whether wittingly or not, that his greatest work, the Summa Theologica, a fundamental work on theology, is left unfinished, because theology is always unfinished. It's an open book. And on that note, we would like to, you know, comment here in this series, at least offer our readers some other ways or means to access Catholic insight. So we thought we would comment on some questions, the modern era, in light of St. Thomas's thought, particularly his Summa Theologica, also some magisterial documents, but other sources are requisite. Just first a bit about the Summa. St. Thomas wrote many works, a phenomenal amount for his brief 49 years on earth. He was given to the Benedictines at Monte Cassino as a five-year-old in Oblate, but then in his teenage years joined the Dominicans and never looked back. And the Dominicans are an order dedicated to the intellectual and academic apostolate, particularly teaching and preaching, founded by, obviously, St. Dominic himself, in just not that long before St. Thomas joined. So he would be in the first sort of cohort, so to speak, of the Dominicans in their fresh young days. St. Thomas wrote the Summa Theologica, beginning the early 1250s, for Dominican novices, but it has universal appeal and has been approved and and supported by many popes from St. Thomas's own day right up to our present day, including St. John Paul II. And he's even quoted by Pope Francis in Amoris Laetitia and other places. So Summa Theologica from 1250, 51 until his death in 1274. As mentioned, he left it unfinished. He stopped in the section on penance and the sacraments. So the Summa covers many aspects of theology, dogmatic theology, moral theology, systematic theology. And so it's a book we can go to, and not just to learn what to think, but also primarily to learn how to think theologically, which is why even Vatican II says that students, particularly seminarians, should study theology, magistro sancta toma, that is, with Saint Thomas as teacher. And in terms of how to think, Saint Thomas, following Aristotle, says the hallmark of a trained intellect is the capacity to make the proper distinctions. And not just to make the proper distinctions, but discerning the basis for those distinctions, how to classify, categorize the universe. And the universe, not only the empirical universe that we can see and taste and touch, but also the universe of our faith that's revealed to us, and the proper object of theology. For St. Thomas, although those two realms were distinct, they were not separate, and they coalesced to form one organic whole. That is, the realm of the angels, of God, coalesces with the and forms one total reality of creation, with men, angels, creation of animals, plants, the realm of empirical science, all the way down to atoms, molecules, cosmology, stars. So in what follows, we'll try to answer some of those, or at least ponder some of those questions, and give some, hopefully, some insights, or at least some things to ponder and think about, and provide food for thought, and provide that wisdom of St. Thomas Aquinas that's so needed in our world. If you just take one quick perusal of Pope John Paul II's encyclical Fides et Ratio that he wrote in 1998, and the section on St. Thomas Aquinas is very profound and very laudatory, as though the great Pope were advocating him as our guide, our theological guide in the 21st century, to see our way through the thickets before us, all those complex situations, moral and otherwise, that we have to face. As another Thomas put it, Thomas More, it is by the tangle of our wits that we must make our way to heaven. And that tangle of our wits, maybe it's a sort of metaphor that could be misunderstood. Tangle not meaning a mess or a random chaos, but tangle as in a more like a labyrinth, an ordered path that may twist and turn, but we must see our way, because oftentimes the answer is not that clear. What we must agree upon, and what St. Thomas teaches in the Summa, are those universal principles, the sine qua non, without which not theology cannot be done. And as long as we agree on those universal principles, and then we can apply them in the concrete situations, and hopefully reach a consensus that we may not always fully agree. Somebody I know, quite dear to me, says, troubles him that no two Catholics think alike. In one way, that's a good thing, because we are a big tent, as James Joyce once quipped, the Catholic Church is, here comes everybody. But another way, it could be a bad thing if we disagree on those fundamental principles, the revealed truths upon which we must all agree. And making the distinction between the two is essential. So we'll keep this initial podcast to 10 minutes. And on that note, it's just about done. We'll finish off with the prayer of St. Thomas Aquinas that I say at the end of class. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grant unto us, O Lord our God, a mind to know thee, a heart to seek thee, wisdom to find thee. conduct pleasing to thee, faithful perseverance in waiting for thee, and a hope of finally embracing thee. Amen. God bless you all on this feast of St. Nicholas. We'll go through a bit more of the Summa next time and give you the structure of it, and then we'll delve into some of the questions, applying them to the modern world. Godspeed.